Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out here. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. Today's show is for the 5th of January, 2018. We're in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar. That means the book of the upright. We'll be beginning with chapter 17 today. The information in this book is so much more detailed than what is found in the King James Bible. It's incredible. It fills in a lot of the stuff that's been left out. Makes a lot more sense. And just additions to the studies. That's why I'm covering Jasher. I know other people have covered it, but I have all these years of notes. This copy I have is old. 1990. So I've had it a while. I've taken good care of it. I've had to repair it several times. If you would like to read along with me, you can go to www.sacred-texts.com and that's followed by a /CHR/APO/Jasher/index.htm. And you can go to the chapter, etc., that I'm reading from. Now it's going to be different with me reading because I've made corrections because they anglicized the text for English-speaking people and they have misspelled words, which leads to mispronunciation. So you'll hear it straight as it is. A lot of the words are in the book of Genesis, okay? And I have the Hebrew for Genesis. We don't have the Hebrew text extant today for Jasher. They did way back when, but the copies are I don't have Hebrew text for it. Let's put it that way. It may be available, but wow. So we're doing the best we can. It will fill you in, and you'll get a broader view of what was going on. And enjoy. I'm not going to try to pick everything apart. I'm just gonna read it and read my notes that I have made. So let's get into this here. Chapter 17. Let me clear my lungs here a second. Ah, that's better. I'm drinking a little morning coffee. It is early in the morning. I'm pre-recording this on the 2nd of January. Try to get a little bit ahead. I've got so much work I've got to do that I really need to record whenever I can. Chapter 17 of the Book of the Upright. Verse 1. And in those days, in the 91st year of the life of Abram, the children of Hittim made war with the children of Tubal. For when Yahweh had scattered the sons of Adam upon the face of the land, the children of Hittim went and embodied themselves in the plain of Canopia, and they built themselves cities there and dwelt by the river Tibreu. Now, those are the Hittites, the Hitti, okay? Verse 2, and the children of Tubal dwelt in Tuscana, and their boundaries reached the river Tibreu. And the children of Tubal built a city in Tuscanon, and they called the name Sabina, after the name of Sabina, son of Tubal, their father. And they dwelt there unto this day. Verse 3, and it was at that time the children of Kittim made war with the children of Tubal, and the children of Tubal were smitten before the children of Hittim, and the children of Hittim caused 370 men to fall from the children of Tubal. Now, when they say to fall, that means fall down in death. Okay? Verse 4. And at that time the children of Tubal swore to the children of Hittim, saying, you shall not intermarry among us, and no man shall give his daughter to any of the sons of Hittim. Verse 5. For all the daughters of Tubal were in those days fair, for no women were then found in the whole land so fair as the daughters of Tubal. Verse 6. And all who delighted in the beauty of women went to the daughters of Tubal and took wives from them. And the sons of men, or Adam, kings and princes, who greatly delighted in the beauty of women, took in those days from the daughters of Tubal. Verse 7. And at the end of 3 years after the children of Tubal had sworn to the children of Hittim not to give them their daughters for wives, about 20 men of the children of Hittim went to take some of the daughters of Tubal, but they found none. Verse 8. For the children of Tubal kept their oaths not to intermarry with them, and they would not break their oaths. Verse 9. And in the days of the harvest, the children of Tubal went into their fields to get in their harvest. When the young men of Hittim assembled and went to the city of Sabina, and each man took a young woman from the daughters of Tubal, and they came to their cities. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not supposed to intermarry with the Hittites either. Remember that Esau Edom did, and it was cursed. Verse 10 here. And the children of Tubal heard, and they went to make war with them, and they could not prevail over them, for the mountain was exceedingly high from them, and when they saw they could not prevail over them, they returned to their land. Okay, verse 11. And at the revolution of the year, that's the spring, The children of Tubal went and hired about 10,000 men from those cities that were near them, and they went to war with the children of Chittim. Verse 12, and the children of Tubal went to war with the children of Chittim to destroy their land and to distress them. And in this, the children of Tubal prevailed over the children of Chittim. And the children of Chittim, seeing that they were greatly distressed, lifted up the children which they had had by the daughters of Tubal upon the wall which had been built to be before the eyes of the children of Tubal. Verse 13. And the children of Chittim said to them, have you come to make war with your own sons and daughters? Now that would be grandsons and granddaughters. And have we not been your flesh and bones from that time till now? In other words, we're married to your daughters. Are you gonna make war on your little grandchildren? Verse 14, and when the children of Tubal heard this, they ceased to make war with the children of Chittim, and they went away. Verse 15, and they returned to their cities, and the children of Chittim at that time assembled and built two cities by the sea, and they called one Pertu and the other Arizah. Verse 16, and Abram, the son of Terach, was then 99 years old. Now here is verse 17, and you can reference Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. At that time Yahweh appeared to him, and he said to him, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly multiply your seed, and this is the covenant which I make between me and you, that every male child be circumcised, you and your seed line after you. That is a covenant between Yahweh and Abram. Our forefather. Okay? The seed line after you. That's a law. Now there's controversy as to whether it still stands. I'm not going to get into that. It says it in the scripture, and if anybody disagrees, they can disagree with the scripture. Okay. Verse 18. At 8 days old, it shall be circumcised, and this covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Take it or leave it. Okay? That's on you. I'm tired of arguing. Verse 19. And now your name shall no more be called Abram, but Abraham. And your wife shall no more be called Sarai, but Sarah. For I will bless you, and I will multiply your seed after you, that you shall become a great nation, and kings shall come forth from you. The seed of Abram. Then that ends chapter 17. So, that's what it says in this book and in the book of Genesis. start at Genesis 17, verse 1. And again, that's what it says in the Word. Okay. Here's chapter 18 of the book of Yashar. And Abraham rose and did all that Yah had ordered him, and he took the men of his household and those bought with his money, and he circumcised them as Yahweh had commanded him. You can reference Genesis 17, verse 23, verse 2. And there was not one left whom he did not circumcise. And Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised in the flesh of their foreskin. 13 years old was Ishmael when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 3. And in the third day, Abraham went out of his tent and sat at the door to enjoy the heat of the sun during the pain of his flesh. He was healing from the circumcision. Ow. Verse 4. And Yahweh appeared to him in the plain of Mamre, and sent three of his ministering messengers. Now it says angels here, but it's messengers. If you read the Hebrew, it's malachim. It is not angels, it's messengers. So they've anglicized it, ministering messengers, to visit him. And he was sitting at the door of the tent, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and lo, three men were coming from a distance. And he rose up and ran to meet them, and he bowed down to them and brought them into his house. And you can reference Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 for that. Verse 5, and he said to them, if now I have found favor in your sight, turn in and eat a morsel of bread. Trying to be a good host, that's what he's doing. And he pressed them, and they turned in. And he gave them water, and they washed their feet. And he placed them under a tree at the door of the tent. That foot washing thing was big back then, okay? Because they wore sandals. They didn't have shoes like we've got. Modern shoes. And their feet got dusty all the way up their ankles. It was dusty, dry, dusty land. Verse 6 of chapter 18. And Abraham ran and took a calf, tender and good, and he hastened to kill it. He bled it out and gave it to his servant Eleazar to dress, in other words, to butcher it and cook it. Verse 7, and Abraham came to Sarah, that's her new name, into the tent, and he said to her, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes to cover the pot containing the meat. And she did so. Meat and bread. Okay. Verse 8. And Abraham hastened and brought before them butter and milk, beef and mutton, and gave it before them to eat before the flesh of the calf, was sufficiently done, and they did eat. Verse 9, and you can reference Genesis 18, verse 10. And when they had done eating, one said to him, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Whoa, they were old people at that point. So, this is quite a shock. Verse 10, and the men afterward departed and went their ways to which they were sent. They were messengers. They had other things to do. Verse 11, in those days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and of the whole five cities in that plain of Mamre were exceedingly wicked and sinful against Yahweh, and they provoked Yahweh with their abominations, and they strengthened in acting abominably and scornfully before Yahweh, and their wickedness and crimes were in those days great before Yahweh. Sodomy, that's where that comes from. They were sexually perverted, as we have today. Okay, there's an analogy between then and now. Let me get a little sip of this nice, fresh, hot coffee that I just made. I want to get that before it gets cold. Verse 12. And they had in their land a very extensive valley, about half a day's walk. And in it there were fountains of water and a great deal of herbage surrounding the water. Verse 13, and all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, not Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's as it is in the Hebrew without the anglicizing, went there four times in the year with their wives and children and all belonging to them, and they rejoiced there with timbrels and dances. Now listen to this. Verse 14. And in the time of rejoicing, they would all rise and lay hold of their neighbor's wives, and some the virgin daughters of their neighbors, and they enjoyed them. And each man saw his wife and daughter in the hands of his neighbor and did not say a word. They were wife swapping and fooling around with all the little girls. Didn't think a thing of it. Big orgy. Verse 15, and they did so from morning to night. And they afterward returned home, each man to his house and each woman to her tent. So they always did four times in the year. In other words, if a woman got pregnant, they didn't know who the daddy was. They were passing the women around like crazy. Verse 16. Also, when a stranger or sojourner came into their cities and brought goods which he had purchased with a view to dispose of there. In other words, he's a merchant. The people of the cities would assemble, men, women, and children, young and old, and go to the man and take his goods by force. In other words, rob him, giving a little to each man until there was an end to all the goods of the owner which he had brought into the land. They just ripped people off. They were robbers. I mean, they were just totally immoral. And if the owner of the goods quarreled with them, saying, "What is this work which you have done to me?" Okay, in other words, why are you robbing me? Then they would approach to him one by one, and each would show him the little which he took and taunt him. They stuck taunt in here, in italics, saying, "I only took that little which you did give me." And when he heard this from them all, he would arise and go from them in sorrow and bitterness of soul. When they would all arise and go after him and drive him out of the city with great noise and tumult. Verse 18, and there was a man from the country of Elam who was leisurely going on the road, seated upon his ass, that's donkey, okay, which carried a fine mantle of diverse colors, and the mantle was bound with a cord upon the ass. Verse 19, and a man was on his journey, passing through the streets of Sidon, when the sun set in the evening, and he remained there in order to abide. In other words, he's going to stay the night. But no one would let him into his house. And at that time there was in Sidon a wicked and mischievous man, one skillful to do evil, and his name was Hedad, H-E-D-A-D. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the street of the city, and he came to him and said, "From where do you come?" Okay, "Whence comest thou? And where do you go? Whither dost thou go?" Okay, that's the formal thing. Verse 21, and the man said to him, "I am traveling from Hebron to Elam, where I belong, and as I passed the sunset, no one would suffer me to enter his house, though I had bread and water and also straw and provender for my ass, and I'm short of nothing." So in other words, I've got everything I need, it just nobody would invite me in and let, you know, no hospitality here. Verse 22, and Hedad answered and said to him, "All that you shall want, shall be supplied by me." But in the street you shall not abide all night. In other words, you're not going to stay in the street. Now, you can't think of the streets of our modern cities. We're talking a little, you know, the size of the cities then were much smaller, okay? And they were narrow, and they're just not like our modern cities. the streets were more like alleys. Verse 23. And Hadad brought him to his house, and he took off the mantle from the ass with the cord and brought them to his house, and he gave the ass straw and provender while the traveler ate and drank in Hadad's house, and he abode there that night. Verse 24. And in the morning, the traveler rose up early to continue his journey, when Hadad said to him, "Wait, comfort your heart with a morsel of bread, and then go." And the man did so. And he remained with him, and they both ate and drank together during the day when the man rose up to go. And Hadad said to him, "Behold now, the day is declining. You had better remain all night that your heart may be comforted." And he pressed him. In other words, he kept at it, so that he tarried there all night. And on the second day he rose up early to go away, when Hadad pressed him, saying, "Comfort your heart with a morsel of bread, and then go." And he remained and ate with him also the second day. And then the man rose up to continue his journey, and Hadad said to him, "Behold now, the day is declining. Remain with me to comfort your heart, and in the morning rise up and go your way." Verse 27. And the man would not remain, but rose and saddled his ass. And while he was saddling his ass, the wife of Hadad said to her husband, "Behold, be this man has remained with us for 2 days, eating and drinking. He has given us nothing." And now shall he go away from us without giving anything? And Hadad said to her, "Be silent." Verse 28. And the man saddled his ass to go, and he asked Hadad to give him the cord and mantle to tie it upon the ass. And Hadad said to him, "What sayest thou?" In other words, what'd you say? And he said to him, "That you, my lord, shall give me the cord and the mantle made with diverse colors, which you did conceal with you in your house to take care of it." Verse 30. And Hadad answered the man, saying, "This is the interpretation of your dream. The cord which you did see and it has means that in italics. In other words, you were dreaming, okay? Your life will be lengthened out like a cord, and having seen the mantle colored with all sorts of colors, meaning that you shall have a vineyard in which you will plant trees of all fruits." In other words, no, you were dreaming, and this is the meaning of your dream. And verse 31, the traveler answered, saying, "Not so, my lord. being polite to the guy. For I was awake when I gave you the cord and also a mantle woven with different colors, which you did take off the ass to put them by for me. And Hadad answered and said, surely I have told you the interpretation of your dream, and it is, and they have a good dream in italics to tie it in, and this is the interpretation of it. Verse 32. Now the sons of men give me 4 pieces of silver, which is my charge for interpreting dreams. And of you, I only require 3 pieces of silver. In other words, not only was he going to steal his mantle, he was going to charge him money. Verse 33, and the man was provoked at the words of Hadad, and he cried bitterly, and he brought Hadad to Sarach, judge of Sedom. Verse 34, and the man laid his cause before Sarach the judge, when Hadad replied, saying, it is not so. But thus the matter stands, and the judge said to the traveler. This man, Hadad, tells you truly, tells you the truth, for he is famed in the cities for the accurate interpretation of dreams. In other words, the judge was in on it, just like today. No justice. Verse 35, and the man cried at the word of the judge, and he said, not so, my lord. For it was in the day that I gave him the cord and mantle which was upon the ass. In other words, I wasn't sleeping or dreaming. It was during the daytime. In order to put them by in his house, and they both disputed before the judge. The one saying thus the matter was, and the other declaring otherwise. Verse 36. And Hadad said to the man, give me 4 pieces of silver that I charge for my interpretations of dreams. I will not make any allowance, and give me the expense of the 4 meals that you did eat in my house. Really going to rip him off. And the man said to Hadad, truly, I will pay you for what I ate in your house. Only give me the cord and mantle which you did conceal in your house. Verse 38. And Hadad replied before the judge and said to the man, did I not tell you the interpretation of your dream? The cord means that your days shall be prolonged like a cord, and the mantle that thou will have a vineyard in which you will plant all kinds of fruit trees. This is a proper interpretation of your dream. Now give me the 4 pieces of silver that I require as a compensation, for I will make you no allowance. Blatantly going to rip this guy off. And the judge was in on it, of course. He was right in on this. Verse Verse 40, and the man cried at the words of Hadad, and they both quarreled before the judge, and the judge gave orders to his servants who drove them rashly from the house. Verse 41, and they went away quarreling from the judge when the people of Shittim heard them, and they gathered about them, and they exclaimed against a stranger, and they drove him rashly from the city. Verse 42, and the man continued his journey upon his ass with bitterness of soul, lamenting and weeping. Verse 43, and while he was going along, he wept at what had happened to him in the corrupt city of Shittim. Oh, they were rotten, absolutely just rotten people. This is what was going on. I may or may not be able to get through chapter 19. If so, I will pick a stopping point, because I got less than 20 minutes here. And chapter 19 has 60 verses, so. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And the cities of Shittim had four judges to four cities. They were all considered Shittim. That was the land of Shittim, and one city was named Shittim. And these were their names: Serak in the city of Shittim, Sharkad, okay, in Amora, Zabnach in Adma, and Menon in Zeboim. Verse 2, and Eleazar, Abraham's servant, they changed his name, now I have to read Abraham. Abraham, pardon me, not Ham. Abraham's servant applied to them different names, and he converted Serak to Shakra, Sharkad to Shakrura, Zebnach to Kezobim, and Menon to Matzlodim. Okay. And by desire of their four judges, the people of Shittim and Amora had beds erected in the streets of the cities. And if a man came to these places, they laid hold of him and brought him to one of their beds and by force made him to lie in them. And as he lay down, three men would stand at his head and three at his feet and measure him by the length by the bed. Okay? And if the man was less than the bed, these six men would stretch him at each end. When he cried out to them, they would not answer him. It was a rack. It was a torture rack. Verse 5. And if he was longer than the bed, they would draw together the two sides of the bed at each end until the man had reached the gates of death. Verse 6, and if he continued to cry out to them, they would answer him, saying, thus shall it be done to a man that comes into our land. In other words, these people were really wicked. Verse 7, and when men heard all these things that the people of the cities of Shittim did, they refrained from coming there. verse 8. And when a poor man came to their land, they would give him silver and gold and cause a proclamation in the whole city not to give him a morsel of bread to eat. And if the stranger should remain there some days and die from hunger, not having been able to obtain a morsel of bread, then at his death, all the people of the city would come and take their silver and gold, which they had given to him. Let him starve to death. Oh, man, those people are horrible. And those that could recognize the silver or gold which they had given him took it back. And at his death, they also stripped him of his garments, and they would fight about them. And he that prevailed over his neighbor took them. They just strip him bare. Verse 10, then they would after that carry him and bury him under shrubs in the deserts. So they did all the days to anyone that came to them and died in their land. Verse 11, and in the course of time, Sarah sent Eliezer to Sodom, to see Lot and inquire after his welfare, because he was living there. He's one of the locals. Verse 12, and Eliezer went to Sodom, and he met a man of Sodom fighting with a stranger, and a man of Sodom stripped the poor man of all his clothes and went away. Verse 13, and this poor man cried to Eliezer and supplicated his favor on account of what the man of Sodom had done to him. Verse 14. And he said to him, why do you act thus to the poor man who came to your land? In other words, why are you doing that? Verse 15, and the man of Sodom answered Eliezer, saying, is this man your brother? Or have the people of Sodom made you a judge this day that you speak about this man? Verse 16. And Eliezer strove with the man of Sodom on account of the poor man. When Eliezer approached to recover the poor man's clothes from the man of Sodom, he hastened and with a stone smote Eliezer in the forehead. Verse 17. And the blood flowed copiously from Eliezer's forehead. And when the man saw the blood, he caught hold of Eliezer, saying, give me my hire for having rid you of this bad blood that was in your forehead. For such is the custom and the law in our land. In other words, pay me for hitting you in the head with a rock. Oh, man. Verse 18, and Eliezer said to him, you have wounded me, and required me to pay you your hire. And Eliezer would not listen to the word of the man of Sodom. Verse 19, and the man laid hold of Eliezer and brought him to Shakra, the judge of Sodom, for judgment. Verse 20, and the man spoke to the judge, saying, I beseech you, my lord, thus has this man done. For I smote him with a stone that the blood flowed from his forehead, and he is unwilling to give me my hire. He can't even have it a rock, now he wants him to pay. Verse 21, and the judge said to Eliezer, this man speaks truth to thee, give him his hire. For this is the custom in our land. Crooked. And Eliezer heard the word of the judge, and he lifted up a stone and smote the judge, and the stone struck on his forehead, and the blood flowed copiously from the forehead of the judge. And Eliezer said, if this then is the custom in your land, give you unto this man what I should have given him, for this has been your decision, and you did decree it. In other words, he hit the judge in the head with a rock. Now you pay him. Verse 22. And Eliezer left the man of Sidon with the judge, and he went away. Verse 23. And when the kings of Elam had made war with the kings of Sidon, the kings of Elam captured all the property of Sidon, and they took Lot captive with his property. And when it was told to Abraham, he went and made war with the kings of Elam, and he recovered from their hands all the property of Lot, as well as the property of Sidon. Verse 24. At that time, the wife of Lot bare him a daughter, and he called her name Paltith, saying, because Elohim had delivered him and his whole household from the kings of Elam. And Paltith, daughter of Lot, grew up, and one of the men of Sidon took her for a wife. Verse 25. And a poor man came into the city to seek a maintenance, and he remained in the city some days. And all the people of Sidon caused a proclamation of their custom not to give this man a morsel of bread to eat until he dropped dead upon the earth. And they did so. Verse 26, and Paltith, the daughter of Lot, saw this man lying in the streets, starved with hunger, and no one would give him anything to keep him alive, and he was just upon the point of death. Verse 27, and her soul was filled with pity on account of the man, and she fed him secretly with bread for many days. In other words, she took care of this guy, had mercy on him. This is a godly act. And the soul of this man was revived, or the being. Verse 28, for when she went forth to fetch water, she would put the bread in the water pitcher. And when she came to the place where the poor man was, she took the bread from the pitcher and gave it to him to eat. So she did many days. Verse 29, and all the people of Sidon and Amorah wondered how this man could bear starvation for so many days. Verse 30, and they said to each other, this can only be that he eats and drinks. For no man can bear starvation for so many days, or live as this man has, without even his countenance changing. And three men concealed themselves in a place where the poor man was stationed, to know who it was that brought him bread to eat. Now that's verse 30, and that's half this chapter. So I'm getting so close to the end of my time today that I'm going to stop here at verse 30, and I will begin with verse 31 in the next session. So thank you for listening today. It's been interesting. I'll start with the verse 31 of chapter 19. On Monday, I wish you a good weekend. It's coming down the end of my time here. I have about less than 2 minutes. So may Yahweh bless and keep you. And stay strong out there, folks. It's getting crazy. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah that I've been reading about with the wickedness. And we need to be strong and have faith in Yahweh in times like this. Again, my website is https://www.pastor-steve.com. All my shows are there, available for download or listening. So may Yahweh bless, and I'll talk to you again.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads us.